searching podcasts for The Daily Perspective. Okay, The Daily Perspective podcast coming up.
Good morning and welcome into the Friday edition of The Daily Perspective. And it's a Friday edition heading into a holiday weekend. A lot of folks will be off work on Monday. And so will The Daily Perspective. I won't be here Monday either. Things to do. So we'll be back on Tuesday, okay? All right. How are you today? Are you having a good one so far? You got big plans for the holiday weekend? Got the grill all ready to go? Got things happening? I hope you do. Hope you've got a big weekend coming. That you're going to shake the week off. You're going to go live life. And remember that in living life, you win. By not worrying about what the leftist would have you be all tied up in knots over. Because basically that's their government style. They like to keep you upset and angry. And in doing so, they keep us divided one against the other. So today, let's focus on the weekend, at least for a moment here, and make sure that as the weekend comes, we make the decision to live our lives, to enjoy our family and friends, and to forget that the Looney Tunes are trying to take over the world. Before we really get going on the Looney Tune type news, a couple of things in the... Well, actually, just one thing, which I think is kind of cool, because I was a kid growing up in the age when we were in the space race heading to the moon. And I remember watching as Neil Armstrong stepped off the limb and said, that's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, as he stepped onto the lunar surface. And I remember following what happened with the rockets, the various vehicles that they used with the astronauts. And so whenever something happens as far as space is concerned, it gets me a little excited. And when SpaceX is involved, these guys are doing things that look like they're out of science fiction movies, with rockets that take off and then land on barges in the ocean. They take off and then they land after they've delivered their payloads. It is just an amazing thing to watch. And if you haven't watched it, please, today, go to YouTube and just look up SpaceX rocket landing. And you will see what I'm talking about. It looks like something out of a movie. But it's really happening. Well, SpaceX has been working on launching one of their big heavy lifters. And they've had their, as usual, weather delays and the like. But last night... SpaceX actually launched the first 5 dozen members of its Starlink broadband constellation to low Earth orbit using one of the company's workhorse Falcon 9 rockets. Starlink is designed to provide internet connectivity to people around the world, and it will do so using a truly enormous number of satellites. Now, this first 50 is just basically the deposit. That is, hey, we're serious. This is our deposit on the whole program, because minimal coverage will require 400 of these satellites. They have to be up and running. Moderate coverage, about twice that many. And they don't plan on stopping there. They plan on continuing beyond 800. So they're going to have probably 1,600, couple of thousand of these satellites in orbit around the Earth to cover the planet, so that you can have internet connectivity wherever you are, as long as you are where your laptop or whatever has a line of sight to one of these satellites. And that is the future. That's just amazing. It's the future. But that's what's happening as far as technology is concerned. It's just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Amazing. Now, let's see here. I had another story lined up. Oh, there it is. I just got them out of order. From time to time, this member of our government, this member of Congress steps up, opens, opens their mouth and just removes all doubt about what an ignoramus they actually are. And it's happened again. The pride of Houston, Texas, Democratic Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, has made a demand. Yes, she's demanded it. She's demanded that there be an internal DHS task force to investigate child migrant deaths. She said, I believe there should be an internal task force set up dealing with children's deaths. She said this Wednesday during a House Homeland Security hearing. She was speaking to Kevin McLeanan. We talked about him yesterday. He's the acting secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. Quote, my question to you is, will you set up an internal in-house task force to deal with these deaths to find out what solutions should be put in place? And then Kevin McLeanan looked at her and told her, the task force she was describing already exists within the department. He said, we already have an internal task force working on these issues. And then she actually asked for the names of the individuals involved because Americans are outraged. God love her. She just can't help it.
What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
Oh, the wisdom of Bugs Bunny. Now, this all follows some tragic things that have happened, but it shows how disconnected from reality and how uninformed these members of Congress actually are. They are sitting in front of TV cameras, posturing, posing, and carrying on a production of political theater. It's what they're doing. And she is making demands. I want the names of these people who are doing this investigating. Well, really? God love her. Now, this exchange followed the death of a 16-year-old Guatemalan migrant who passed away while in Border Patrol custody. The boy was apprehended on May 13th for illegally crossing the U.S. border near Hidalgo, Texas. He was diagnosed with the flu and prescribed some medicine on Sunday after telling medical staff he didn't feel well. By Monday morning, he was found unresponsive while at the Westlake station in Texas. Following the news of his death, Customs and Border Protection immediately announced that an independent and thorough review of the circumstances would be conducted. The faculty that housed him has since stopped taking in new migrants after a high number of detainees began reporting flu-like symptoms. This boy's death is the fifth in Border Patrol custody since December, and it sparked renewed outrage from the leftists, the Democratic lawmakers, who, by the way, are completely and totally responsible for the conditions that these people are under, because they refuse to move on any requests for funding and other moves like changes in regulations, which will allow the Border Patrol and security on the border to deal with the issue effectively. So Trump has asked for these things to happen. The Border Patrol has been asking for things to happen. And the Democrats, who are 100% focused on destroying Donald Trump, are ignoring what's happening on the border. And the reason they are is because every time something goes wrong, they can use it against Donald Trump, even though what goes wrong is completely their responsibility. The DHS secretary said, these tragedies are devastating to us and they are avoidable. He used his time with lawmakers to not only request additional funds to address the crisis, but also called for legislative reforms to allow immigration officials to have additional authorities when handling unaccompanied minors from Central America. He said, our immigration system is full. We're well beyond our capacity at every stage of the process. Why? Because the Democrats are doing nothing. The Democrats are ignoring the issue because they know they can use it to damage Donald Trump. And this is a horrible, horrible thing. Human lives are hanging in the balance. Human lives are at stake. And the Democrats could not care any less. They don't care about these children. They don't care about these immigrants. They don't care. These people coming to the United States of America because they have been deceived into believing that they can have a better life here and that all they have to do is cross the border and say asylum, and before long, they'll be living the high life and enjoying the American dream and sending money back home to send more people here. They've been told in YouTube videos how to pull this off. And they get here and they realize they're living in the shadows, that they're dodging authorities the entire time they're here. All because the Democrats don't want to do anything, because they know that the more of these immigrants that are here, the more unstable our systems become and the more likely they are to fail. And they can just point fingers of blame at everybody else. And they know they can get away with it because the news agencies are being dishonest. The news agencies are all focused on Trump and going after Trump. The news agencies are ignoring the crisis on the border and in many cases denying the crisis exists. Well, over at CNN, things are not going very well. Their ratings are dropping. And it appears that on Tuesday, the president of CNN, Jeff Zucker, took his main talent to breakfast after their morning show. Talent from both the morning and evening were sitting there alongside Zucker, enjoying a meal. But it really wasn't a celebratory occasion. Sources say that Zucker was telling the staff that the ratings are down and he was trying to light a fire under them. But an interesting note is that many of these people, many of the talent, were pushing back. Some spoke up saying that maybe the constant anti-Donald Trump rhetoric has fatigued viewers. They're worn out. They're tired of hearing all of the stuff against the president. When they're looking around like you and I do and they're seeing life getting better in the United States of America, more people are working, people are earning more, they're keeping more, and the government's taking less. Life is better. So they see a disconnect between CNN's reporting and what's really happening in real life, and they're getting tired of it. The talent told Zucker that the Trump bashing is played out, and it might be time to move on. Again, sources, we don't have names, but sources are saying that Zucker dug his heels in and told the talent they need to step up their game. Things are not going well at CNN. It shows in most of the ratings. There are those who say even though it was breakfast, this might have been Zucker's last supper. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Because CNN latches on to things. You remember the Malaysian airliner that disappeared? It seemed to me that that was the top of every news show for almost 2 years. They latch on to things like that and don't let them go. And because Zucker and others like him are leftists, they're in the pockets of the Democrats, and they're doing the bidding of the Democrat Party. They're attacking Donald Trump at every occasion. And the people are tired of it. And these attacks just don't stop. They keep going and keep going and keep going. And they're wearing the people down. They're sick and tired of it. And they're seeing it's not the way they're being told on the news. And the ratings are dropping. There are a lot of funny memes that are being passed around on social media today. There are actually more people working in prostitution in the United States today than are watching CNN. That's just one of them. CNN's ratings are in the toilet. And it's because of this anti-Trump focus. Everything is anti-Trump. And the people are fed up. Just like you and I are fed up. The only time I watch CNN is if it's the only thing on the TV wherever I am. And then I sit there shaking my head the whole time. You know what? CNN's ratings would drop dramatically, even farther, if somehow they got pulled off of televisions and airports across America. I think most people watch them in airports than anywhere else, because it's the only option they have. Can we make that happen? Can we please? More after the break as the Daily Perspective continues. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. It's the Friday edition of the program. Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host here for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. And I hope you're having a good day and looking forward to a good weekend. Good to see you folks over there on Facebook Live. Thanks for joining the fun today. And thanks to all of you who are joining in at a later time via the podcast. Thanks for subscribing. Glad you're there. Oh, my goodness. My day yesterday, I didn't talk about this at the top. Actually, my day yesterday was not all that bad. It was the day before that was crazy. But I managed to get sunburned yesterday because the car I've been working on actually was out on the road. My wife and I, I had an appointment in the afternoon and took the little convertible out for that. And then my wife texts me, Jane, the sweetest woman in the world, Jane texts me and says, hey, can we go for a ride in the Miata when I get off, when she gets off work? Cause she gets through much later in the day than I do. And, I said, sure. And I'm not an idiot. I know that when she wants to go for a ride, she wants to go out to eat. This is code. That's what this means. She wants to go out to eat. So, excuse me. So, that's what we did. There's a new place that we've been wanting to try. And every time we swing by on a weekend, there are stacks of people. There are people sitting on benches outside. And if they're sitting on benches outside, it means the waiting area inside is full. So that means you're looking at, 45 minutes or so to get a table to eat. And no, not going to do that when literally a minute or two away, there are places where we can go and walk right in and have a seat and enjoy a meal that we'll enjoy. So we just decided, you know what? It's a Thursday night. Let's give it a shot. And so we did. And there will be lunch that is leftovers from that today, because there was so much food. I was just absolutely amazed by how big the servings were. And we ended up getting seated very near the kitchen, and we were actually able to watch as things were prepared, which was an advantage for us. We chose that because we could get seated immediately that way rather than waiting 20 minutes to have a seat at a table. And I thought, this is terrible. It's loud here. We can't carry on a conversation. I'm sitting next to this thing where they keep the food warm before they put it out in the, at the table, and I'm hot and it's noisy. And then I realized I'm getting to see them prepare all this stuff. So I see what it looks like. And I get to see the things on the that I'm looking at on the menu that I'm interested in. I'm seeing them go out. So I know next time we go, yeah, I'll try that chicken pot pie. I'll try this. I'll try that. So at any rate, I was out yesterday for a while in the sun. And today, my forehead, I'm burning. I'm just, first world problems. Well, there's been some interesting developments as far as Attorney General Barr is concerned. And I say interesting because they are interesting to people like us who are kind of paying attention to things. President Trump has given Attorney General Barr the authority to declassify documents related to the 2016 campaign surveillance. It's time to watch the roaches scattering. It's like you turn on the light in the middle of the night and the bugs scatter. You know, it's just, last night he issued a memo that gave AG Barr the authority to declassify any documents related to the surveillance of the Trump campaign in 2016. He also ordered the intelligence community to cooperate with Barr. The memo read, quote, "The heads of elements of the intelligence community and the heads of each department of or agency that includes an element of the intelligence community shall promptly provide such assistance and information as the Attorney General may request in connection with that review. Today, at the request and recommendation of the Attorney General of the United States, President Donald J. Trump directed the intelligence community to quickly and fully cooperate with the Attorney General's investigation into surveillance activities during the 2016 presidential election." That is what Sarah Sanders, White House press secretary, said in a statement. It goes on to say, "The Attorney General has also been delegated full and complete authority to declassify information pertaining to this investigation in accordance with the long-established standards for handling classified information. Today's action will help ensure that all Americans learn the truth about the events that occurred and the actions that were taken during the last presidential election and will restore confidence in our public institutions." In a Twitter message late Thursday, Rudy Giuliani, Trump's lawyer, one of Trump's lawyers, defended the president's action, saying the president made a wise decision to let Barr on the documents, to let him go for the documents. "I don't know for sure, but I seriously doubt there's any national security concern, but some of it could affect pending investigations. I'm sure the Attorney General and the Department of Justice will make very appropriate decisions." U.S. Representative Adam Schiff, or Schiffless, from California, Democrat, chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, blasted the move as an attempt to, quote, "weaponize law enforcement and classified information." Gee, I wonder what he calls their ongoing investigation that the House is doing. I wonder what does he refer to that as weaponizing law enforcement and classified information? You know, their demands, their subpoenas for redacted information in the Mueller report. Does he call that what that is? Because that's exactly what it is. President Trump claims his campaign was the victim of spying, though the intelligence community has insisted it acted lawfully in following leads in the Russia investigation. The president had told Fox News earlier in May he'd allow declassification soon. He elaborated, quote, "I didn't want to do it originally because I wanted to wait, because I know what they, you know, I've seen the way they play. They play very dirty." Last month, Attorney General Barr ran into a buzzsaw of criticism from Democratic lawmakers and media figures for testifying that spying did occur against the Trump campaign in 2016. But despite the backlash, Barr appeared to be referring to intelligence collection that already has been widely reported and confirmed. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act warrants, FISA warrants, against former Trump campaign aide Carter Page and currently the subject of a Justice Department Inspector General investigation looking at potential misconduct in the issuance of those warrants. That review also reportedly is scrutinizing the role of an FBI informant who had contacts with Trump advisors in the early stages of the Russia investigation. The use of the term spying, as it applies to the FBI's surveillance in 2016, has been fiercely disputed. The New York Times, even as it reported last year on how the FBI sent an informant to speak to campaign advisors amid concerns about suspicious Russia contacts, stated that this was to investigate Russia ties and not to spy. Ah. Potato, potato. Tomato, tomato. I think spying did occur. This is what Barr testified last month. The question is whether it was adequately predicated. He adds he believed it was his obligation to review whether there was misconduct in the original investigation. Congress is usually very concerned with intelligence agencies and law enforcement agencies staying in their proper lane. He added that spying on a political campaign is a big deal. President Trump backed the Attorney General's testimony, saying the same day Barr testified last month that he thinks what Barr said was absolutely true. And he added, "There was absolutely spying into my campaign." Democrats, though, charged that the testimony indicated Barr was a compromised witness. Like I said, the roaches are scattering. Watch carefully as what happens hits the fan. This right here, this is why we saw what happened yesterday morning. Cover up. The two words, remember we talked about that phrase, that terminology. This was what they decided to go with. The president is involved in criminal activity. It's a cover up. They had to do something shocking and astonishing before the news cameras. They had to make an assertion that the president was involved in something illegal, because they knew that this was coming. They knew that soon the light would be turned on and the people would be able to see them for what they truly are and what they're really doing. So, as I said yesterday, do not be deceived. Everything the Democrats are doing and saying is a distraction. It's to keep us from seeing the reality of things. They want the news media to chase the salacious story and not pay attention to what's really going on. It's all a distraction. It's just one more act in the dog and pony show, the political theater that the Democrats are engaging in right now. That's what's going on. Now, the Democrats are making various statements about what happened in that little meeting yesterday morning, and we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. But it's very important to focus on the matter at hand, and that is that the Democrat Party, Barack Obama's administration, engaged in spying on the Republican presidential candidate's campaign. They engaged in manufacturing out of thin air a story to use against their political opponents, which would call them into question and cast doubts on them in order to sway the opinion of the American public at election time. It didn't work because their candidate was so distasteful that Trump won. It's all about to come home. The chickens are coming home to roost. And it's a crazy thing to watch. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. The Friday edition of the show, heading into a holiday weekend. Reminder, no show Monday. I'm taking the day off, too. Probably going to grill. Okay, let's be honest. I'm probably going to be doing honeydews around the house. That's probably what I'll be doing Monday. My wife has to work, so I'll be around the house doing the things that I need to get done. Well, so much for the holiday weekend, huh? Let me encourage you today to go sign up for the Daily Perspective newsletter. You do that by going to dailyperspectivepodcast.com. That's dailyperspectivepodcast.com. Go there and look on the right-hand column of the front page. You'll see the sign-up form right there. Give me your first and last name, your email address. Answer the email that comes to you afterwards. And before long, you'll be getting the show notes. And the show notes, I explain this every day, but if you're new to the podcast, what the show notes consist of is the links to all of the stories that we talk about during the show. It's the entire stack, including the stories that I won't have time for, because I always pull more material than I have time for, because, you know, just in case, if things move fast, I've got stuff I can go to. But there's stuff that we will not get to today. For example, there's a story about Apple that has finally, it's reversed itself again on allowing a specific app into their app store. It's an app that counters climate alarmism. I downloaded this app last night, looked at it. It's kind of interesting. It's a nice little reference app. That story is in the overflow, the bonus material. You should go look at it today. And the only way you can is if you subscribe to the Daily Perspective newsletter. So go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com. That's a long name, but you'll get there. dailyperspectivepodcast.com. Fill out the form and get on board. All right. Back to the insanity that is our national government. In Washington, D.C., they're playing this back and forth game. The Democrats have committed themselves to destroying the president. In fact, the Democrat Party, I read an article yesterday from somebody about that was quoting someone who was it? It was Tulsi Gabbard. She's a Democrat. And she was talking about how when she arrived in Washington, D.C. after being elected, within the first couple of days, it was made very clear to her that no Democrat was allowed to work with Republicans on any issues, that they would not be allowed to vote with Republicans, that everything is about the party and their party winning, defeating the Republicans. That's what they're about. She says it's the same on the Republican side, and it probably is to a major degree, because when you have people attacking you, seeking to defeat you, well, you have to adopt a certain posture. But we do see people like Lindsey Graham and others who have worked hand in hand with Democrats in the past trying to get things done, real bipartisan efforts. But to Democrats, bipartisanship means shut up and do what I want. That is the definition of Democrat bipartisanship. We'll drive the car. You sit over there and manage the playlist. That's pretty much their idea of bipartisanship. Not truly working together on something. And so we're seeing this play out in real life. IRL. In the news. Senate Minority Leader, Senator Chuck Schumer. Chucky! Said yesterday, President Trump was not prepared for their infrastructure meeting on Wednesday and, quote, concocted a temper tantrum, end quote, to get out of it. This is his spin on what happened when the president told them, we can't work like this. When you're finished with your phony investigations, we can get some things accomplished. He went on to say, we want to do infrastructure and he's incapable of it. What happened yesterday, in my judgment, is that they were so ill-prepared and afraid to say how they would pay for infrastructure that they looked for a way to back out. He said this while appearing on MSNBC's Morning Joe show, which is a little dysfunctional thing that happens every day over there on MSNBC. Mr. Schumer said Trump is an erratic, helter-skelter, get-nothing-done president who doesn't have real accomplishments. Wow. My paycheck differs. I don't know about you, but my paycheck has differed. My taxes differed. The income for millions upon millions of regular, everyday, middle-class Americans differs with that. More people are working today. More jobs are available. Businesses are doing better. Things are really happening. He actually is getting things done. But then again, Mr. Schumer must continue lying in order to play his part properly in political theater. He warned the president can't get reelected without having any legislative victories, adding the real cover-up is they can't get anything done. Those are the words, cover-up. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders denied Mr. Schumer's allegations, telling CNN the president intended to stay but calmly said he could not work with Democrats due to their House investigations. Mr. Trump canceled talks after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said Wednesday that Democrats believe that the President of the United States is engaged in a cover-up. A visibly disgusted Mr. Trump responded with an impromptu White House press conference where he said he won't work with Democrats while they're seeking to impeach him and continue their phony investigations. The president criticized Democrats this morning, or yesterday morning, I should say, for trying to get a redo of the Mueller report and said the Democrats have become known as the do-nothing party. And he's telling the truth. They aren't doing anything except trying to destroy him. That's all they're doing. That's what they're focused on. And they are trying to do their own version of the Mueller investigation. They weren't happy with the outcome, and so they're doing their own, which is why they're issuing subpoenas for all this information, and they're making accusations and threats, because they were not happy with the outcome of the Mueller report, because Robert Mueller couldn't find anything to charge the president with. There was no crime. And they were dissatisfied with that. So they got to keep this going, so they've got things to talk about and things to condemn the president for. And so they've taken it on themselves. Well, fireworks did explode on Capitol Hill after President Donald Trump walked out of an infrastructure meeting at the White House with the two most powerful Democrats in Congress, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Crazy Aunt Nancy, and Senate Minority Leader say it, Mark. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York. Trump reportedly took great offense to the fact that just prior to the start of that meeting, Pelosi had publicly accused the president of engaging in a cover-up. She did so, by the way, in front of news cameras, knowing that those words would go viral and that news agencies, leftist news outlets around the world would quote her. Those remarks came following a morning meeting with House Democrats, that is, to where Pelosi reportedly said Trump wants to be impeached. This is according to the Washington Post. Trump wants to be impeached. What they're saying is that he is trying to goad them into impeaching him because he and they both know it would be a bad move for the Democrats and create a lot of negative opinion, just like the Republican impeachment of Bill Clinton created a lot of a negative opinion about Republicans and lost them seats in Congress. Predictably, Pelosi and Schumer, dutifully echoed by their comrades in the establishment media, painted a picture of an enraged and mentally disturbed president throwing a temper tantrum. But that may not be the real story of what transpired, as was revealed yesterday, not only by Trump himself, but by several of his top aides who were present at the abruptly canceled meeting. These people were there. Remember, it wasn't just Chuck and Nancy and President Trump in the room. There were other people there who watched what happened and are now testifying to that fact. Several of his top aides were there. White House Counselor Kellyanne Conway, Strategic Communications Director Mercedes Schlapp, Chief Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow, and Press Secretary Sarah Sanders. They were all there. What began as an announcement in the Roosevelt Room of the White House about a $16 billion aid package for farmers soon turned into a freewheeling impromptu news conference. It didn't take long before the events of the previous day came up in the discussion. Trump insisted that he remained calm and polite throughout the brief ordeal and called upon his aides to back him up by sharing their own recollections of what occurred. Conway said, very calm, no temper tantrum. She proceeded to excoriate the supposedly facts-first media for the blatant lie they helped perpetuate that the president had raged at the Democrat leaders. Trump then turned to Schlapp and asked for her take on what happened. She said, you were very calm and you were very direct. She also noted how discouraging she found it that Pelosi had made her incendiary comments right before the meeting, but still thought a constructive discussion could happen. You see, this was all orchestrated. She came out of her meeting knowing she was going into this meeting. She said something incendiary, knowing what would happen going into the next meeting, so that they could position themselves and make claims with no basis in reality. God love them. As I said yesterday, they're playing games with a guy who knows all about their games. He's not being bamboozled by these people at all. He had witnesses there, and they're going to tell the truth. And the Democrats are just going to keep on lying. And that's how their game is played. Yikes. Yeah, we really need a weekend, don't we? This is disgusting. I know I do. And more disgusting stuff is coming after the break. Yuck! When the Daily Perspective continues. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here. I'm so happy you're along today. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for being part of the podcast. And thanks for spreading it around, sharing it with your friends. Don't stop. You share it with two friends today. They share it with two friends tomorrow. Before long, we'll have one of those cruises together, you know, where we go to the Caribbean and just enjoy ourselves. That would be nice. Hey, it's all in your court. Get busy. Hey, there's continued tension. There's continued tension between counselor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi following their heated clash at the White House. Following Pelosi's accusation earlier the same day that he's engaged in a cover-up over the special counsel's Russia investigation, President Donald Trump walked out of an infrastructure meeting on Wednesday. He then told Democrats to get these phony investigations over with. Following the abrupt end of the meeting, Conway asked the speaker if she had a direct response to the president. Pelosi snapped back at Conway, telling her she talks to the president, not staff, resulting in Conway's response that, that's really pro-woman of you. The day after, the president's counselor isn't letting up on her distaste toward Pelosi, explaining that Trump never raised his voice during the Wednesday meeting and apparently told Democrats, quote, you can't want to impeach and investigate and pretend you want to legislate. Conway said Pelosi then, quote, went on and launched into some odd self-curated history of infrastructure in our country. Conway then discussed the tense exchange between her and Pelosi, saying she treats me like I'm her either her maid or her driver or her pilot or her makeup artist, and I'm not. And I said to her, how very pro-woman of you, per usual, because she is not very pro-woman. She is pro-some women, a few women. The House Speaker also addressed the exchange with Conway, telling reporters on Thursday that she's not going to talk about her. Quote, I respond as the Speaker of the House to the President of the United States. Other conversations people want to have among themselves is up to them. Wow. Additionally, the Democratic leader told reporters yesterday that Trump is, quote, crying out for impeachment, end quote, but claimed their party isn't moving toward impeachment proceedings, despite several Democrats' calls for impeachment. As I said yesterday, I firmly believe these people have a game plan and they're following it. And the cover-up statement was part of that game plan. And the president, as I said yesterday, I believe, is always at least two steps ahead of them. At least. He knows what they're up to. He knows what they're about. This is not his first rodeo doing business, so to speak. And he knows how people are. He's watched politicians as he has managed his businesses over the years. He's dealt with them. He knows about their corruption. He knows how they operate. He knows how they think, which is why he knew he could win and become president, and why he has been successful in putting America back on its feet after 8 years of sitting on its wallet under Barack Hussein Obama, who was trying to fundamentally transform the most impactful, successful, and beneficial nation the world has ever seen. Well, Attorney General William Barr, we talked about him earlier, and there's been this story circulating, headlines, about him sending a letter to Representative Adam Schiff, or Representative Adam Schiffless, Democrat of California. You would be right to come away thinking that Attorney General Barr has completely caved in. He's offering to provide the White House Intelligence Committee everything it wants if it will just stop threatening to hold him in contempt. If you've been reading media headlines and watching CNN and MSNBC or the Alphabet Networks, that's the impression you may come away with. Even the Drudge Report, which we tend to think of as leaning right, has claimed that Barr has buckled. But in reality, Barr's letter actually counters Chairman Schiff's threat, Most media outlets didn't provide the actual letter, choosing instead to cherry-pick information for a specific narrative. Their narrative, the leftist narrative. Barr, twice in his letter, says that if Schiff continues to threaten enforcement action against the Attorney General, then they will receive none of the information they request. Quote, to be clear, should the committee take the precipitous and unnecessary action of recommending a contempt finding or other enforcement action against the Attorney General, then the Department of Justice will not likely be able to continue to work with the committee to accommodate its interests in these materials. That's in the second paragraph. Later in the letter, Barr describes what the DOJ is already doing to accommodate Schiff's request, but says the process, quote, will not continue should the committee take the unnecessary and unproductive step of moving to hold the Attorney General in contempt, end quote. Further, Barr said that if Schiff confirms, quote, that no contempt vote will be pursued tomorrow or while good faith accommodation ensues, end quote, the DOJ would meet with them to discuss their specific requests. Barr is countering Schiff's posturing and setting up for a potential court battle. Should the issue go to court, as have the demands for President Donald Trump's tax returns, by the way, that happened in New York. New York is rabidly anti-Trump, very leftist. They went to New York with this part of the investigation. They took these lawsuits to New York because they knew they could win there, because New York is very anti-Trump. The Attorney General has ensured he would win should they go to court over this. Barr wrote early in his letter that the DOJ has already provided Schiff's committee with the opportunity to view a minimally redacted version of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report regarding alleged collusion with Russia by Trump's 2016 campaign, and was working on a process whereby members would receive the opportunity to review the underlying documents that the committee identifies as most necessary to its counterintelligence oversight work. Remember, by the way, that none of these Democrats on this committee, except for those who took part in that stage theatrical reading of the Mueller report last week, none of them have bothered to read any of this. None of them. Barr said the proposal arose directly from what had appeared to be productive discussions with the committee staff and reflected the department's good faith effort to accommodate the committee's request. Schiff, however, decided to start talking about enforcement action as other Democrats called for a vote on holding Barr in contempt. Barr then lays out everything the DOJ has done to accommodate Schiff and asks only for a necessary delay required by the department to identify and review the relevant materials process that will be done as expeditiously as possible. Should Schiff's request go to court, it would be clear that Barr has done everything under the law to placate Schiff. In this regard, the media's incompetence and bias has been useful. With headlines claiming Barr has caved, it makes the Attorney General look more accommodating. Barr's response to Schiff, the threat Schiff made, appears to have worked. Earlier yesterday, Reuters reported that Schiff has pulled back. He pulled back on Wednesday from threats to enforce a subpoena against Attorney General William Barr after the Justice Department agreed to turn over materials relating to an investigation into Russian election interference. While this is more misreporting, Barr had already said he would provide those materials before Schiff made the threat. It does show that the Attorney General took the upper hand after writing the letter. You see, Schiff recognized where he stood once the letter was received and read. Schiff understood that Attorney General William Barr legally has the upper hand. And Adam Schiff, this shiftless leftist, lying Democrat. This is the guy, remember, who told every news reporter who would talk to him that he had personally seen the evidence of Trump's Russian collusion. Remember? This guy told everybody who would listen to him that he had personally seen evidence of collusion with Russia. Oddly, Robert Mueller's investigation, which went on for over 2 years, couldn't seem to find that evidence anywhere. And Adam Schiff certainly didn't hand it to them, did he? This guy, who lied repeatedly to reporters every time he had the opportunity, is now sitting in the crosshairs of the Attorney General, and he knows he had better at least step towards behaving himself. And the media is playing along with the Democrats, of course. It'll be interesting to see how this continues to play out. But don't count on the mainstream press to tell you the truth about it. They haven't yet, and they won't. So it's up to you and I to keep doing our due diligence and digging and reading and finding out what's really happening. But don't do that too much this weekend. It's a holiday weekend. Take it easy. Enjoy your family. Have some fun and live life. And don't let these people camp out in your head rent-free all weekend long. You've got better things to do. I know I do. That's it for today. We'll be back Tuesday for the next edition of The Daily Perspective. God bless. Bye-bye.